So we want to learn about the Ramban on Chag HaShavuot and the Ramban in Parshas Balosha and compare it and connect it back to Parshas Noso. That's our goal for today. So what I have here for you are three pages of Mara Makomos, or four pages actually. The fourth page is going to deal exclusively with Parshas Balosha, as we'll soon see. And the first page will deal with Parshas Noso. I spoke a little bit before Musaf about the Nazir, very briefly, but I'd like to study it more in depth. The Torah says in Parshas Noso, Zos Torah San Nazir Biyom Molos Yimei Nizro Yavio So El Pesach O El Mohid. The Torah describes in detail the whole procedure of a Nazir when he finishes his Nazirus and what Karbonus he has to bring to Pesach Ol Moed. And amongst the Karbonus that he brings, the Torah delineates a Karbon Chatos. And that's going to be the subject of the Gemara in Nedarim. And the Torah says, V'kavso achas bas shnosot mimo lechatos. Now, often the Karbon Chatos is appropriate for someone who did a sin.
Dressing another sheep?
Yeah. Some would say that the sin of the Nazir is that he became Tomei, and that's certainly one approach. But Rabbi Lazar HaKapor, in the name of Rebbe, in the Gemara Nedarim Daf Yud, has a different approach. And he doesn't assume that the Nazir was negligent or careless and he became Tomei and he violated his Kedushas Nazirus. That's not his premise. Therefore, he asks the following question. He says, V'kiper olav me'asher chata al ha-nefesh. The Torah says that he should bring his Karbon Chatos as a kapora me'asher chata al nefesh. V'chi ezu nefesh chata is there. To what nefesh did he do any sin? Meaning, even if you'll argue, I think, says Rabbi Lazar Kapor, that he was chote because he was a tamei, he became tamei, even that would not be asher chot al nefesh. V'chi be'ezen nefesh chota, against which soul did he sin, so to speak? Is this some sort of violation of bein odom l'chavero? I mean, what? How did he inconvenience anyone else that now he has to bring a karma chatos? Ela shetzier atzmo min hayayin. He denied himself yayin. In other words, the Torah's hashkafa is a positive one towards yayin. A person should drink wine. He should do it again in a disciplined way. Kedoshim tiyu. If you remember the first Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim, he says not to be a noble b'shus haTorah, not to be a zol v'sobe, but certainly he can enjoy wine, and wine is something that lends itself to Kedusha, and this I spoke about before Musaf on Shabbos. And the Gemara adds a Kal v'chomer. Uma zeshel otzir atzma lemina yayin nikra chote, amitzar atzma chol dovra lachas kama v'kama. What if a person enjoins himself from eating and drinking, and what's that called when you take upon yourself that you won't eat and drink? A tainus, right? In their tainus. So the Gemara says, we can call Yoshev v'tainus nikra chote. It's interesting because we have an entire Masechta called Masechta Tainus about the laws of fasts, and a person accepts upon himself voluntarily a fast, and we think he's on a very high level, and therefore we give him a Yashikoyach, you know, he's abstaining, he's an ascetic, you know, No, the Gemara says, Yoshev v'tainus nikra chote. And the later poskim add that he weakens himself and he won't be able to study Torah and daven bekavon and so forth and so on, because he's all squeezed out, you know, he doesn't have any energy. And therefore, Rabbi Lazar HaKapor says that the chote here in the case of a nazir is himself. You know, we can see the nazir almost as a, if you want to use a Freudian term, a schizophrenic, a split personality. He's chote al nefesh. We're going to split the nazir into two people. He's himself and himself. You know, he's himself insofar as he accepts upon himself as nazirus, but he's himself insofar as he sins against himself by denying yayin. And this, we pointed out, is reminiscent of the famous Yerushalmi in Kedusha. Yerushalmi says, Lasan Lavo, a person will be judged, you know, Yitenes Adin, because he didn't enjoy the fruits of all the different fruits. He's supposed to taste God's beautiful world. There's a famous analogy of Rav Neventzel from the old city. Rav Neventzel says that why did the, you know, he says, you know, initially when they invented the television, it was in black and white. I mean, I really, if I told you that I remember television black and white, I'd be really dating myself, you know. Evan, in your time, there was no black and white television.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you had black and white television? So, but now we have colored television. So, Rav Neventzel used the mashal. He said, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world in color? He could have created the world in black and white. But the answer is, Hashem wants us to enjoy the beautiful colors of this world. And here the Nazir went ahead and he denied himself yayin. He's not allowed to drink yayin or any produce of the grapes. And therefore, there's something negative. It comes out that according to Blas HaKafar, we really discourage a person from accepting upon himself Nazirus. The Gemara has a story about one Nazir Echad Min Adarom. It's also Gemara in Adarim that he was makabel on himself Nazirus L'Shem Shamayim. He was really sincere about it. Then the Gemara tells the whole story. He was a very good looking guy and he looked into a pond once and he saw his reflection in the water and he saw how beautiful he was. All of a sudden the Eitz Hara got the best of him, you know, he started. So he was on that moment, in order to zap the Eitz Hara from the start, he said, I'm being makabel on myself Nazirus. I'm going to take all this beautiful hair that I have and I'm going to cut it off, because a Nazir has a mitzvah at the end of his Nazirus of Tiglachas, of cutting off his hair. And the Gemara says that there were Tanoim who didn't want to eat from the Chattas of a Nazir, right? Because the Chattas of a Nazir is given to the Anshe Mishmar, the Kohanim, to eat. But if his Nazirus was really invalid, if he didn't accept upon himself Nazirus for the right reasons, if he was insincere about his Nazirus, then there were Kohanim who didn't want to eat. They felt inhibited, uncomfortable at eating from the chatos of a Nazir. But in that case, where they knew that he was makabel Nazirus l'shem shamayim, they ate from the chatos of a Nazir. They knew it was a kosher carbon. The Ramban, which I think is a tremendous introduction for us to Parshas Chag Matan Torasenu, to Shavuos, which is fast and approaching, the Ramban takes a whole other approach. He says, "V'tama chatos sheyakriv hanazir v'yom melosi meinizro lo nisparish." The Torah doesn't explain mefurish lahedger why is it that a nazir has to bring a korban chatos when he completes his nazirus. But says the Ramban, al derech hapshat, which I think he's trying to say that, let's leave Rav Elazar HaKapar on the side over here, but the derech hapshat, what would be the simple answer to this question? Ki ha'ish hazeh chote nafsho b'melos ha'nazirus. He's sinning against himself by terminating his nazirus. Ki hu at this moment, after having experienced nazirus and fulfilling all the laws and requirements of nazirus, nazir mikdushaso viavodas Hashem, he has reached the level of a nazir. Nazir, according to the Ibn Ezra, a nazir is someone who wears a, we'll see it later on, an ateris al rosho, and he has a sanctity similar to the sanctity of a kohen and similar to the sanctity of a melech. Or the person who's dedicated to Torah study wears a keser Torah. A Nazir also has reached this level where we call Kedushas HaGavra. He's a different person. And he's dedicated to sanctity and to serve Hashem. Roi Hoyalo, says the Ramban, She Yazir Li Olam. He should extend his Nazirus for the balance of his life. Yamod Kol Yomav Nazir V'Kadosh Elokov. And he should remain a Nazir, sanctified and dedicated to his God for the rest of his life. And Ramban completes this presentation by saying, Hutzarach kapar b'shuvo, by returning to the regular citizen life of every Jew, lihitame. And now he'll come in contact with Tavas Ha'olam, the pleasures of the world. He's no longer a Kadosh. Once he goes back to the world, he's giving up, he's forfeiting his level of Kedusha. For that he has to bring a chatos. He sinned against himself.
What if a guy makes another for 30 days, and by the 29th, whatever, before it's finished, he decides, I'm going to leave forever. Does he have to go out and back in?
Yeah, he has to be makabel a new Nazirus, because his original Kabbalah was only for 30 days. But the Ramban is encouraging him to do so, because he's about to terminate his Nazirus, go back to his original state, don't do so. So I wanted to make an attempt to reconcile the Ramban with Rabbi Elazar HaKapar. Rav Lozak HaPar is saying he shouldn't have accepted Nazirus. That's very negative. You know, we don't want Nazirus. The Ramban is saying, on the contrary, Nazirus is a great thing. He achieved this level of being Nazir b'kedushas avodas Hashem, and he shouldn't leave his Nazirus. So the Ramban seems to be taking a positive approach towards Nazirus. But I thought perhaps there's no contradiction between the two. And I'll give a mashal. If you recall, Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of his life, at the end of Sefer Dvarim, is giving Musar to the people of Israel, and he says to them, "Lo nasan Hashem lachem lev ladas, v'inayim liros v'aznayim lishmoa ad hayom hazeh." At the end of his life, he's saying, God gave you, finally, at this termination of my career as your leader, and you as reaching that level of soaking up and absorbing my leadership, my Torah, my guidance, you have now, at the end of my life, as I depart from you, a lev ladas, a naim liros v'aznayim lishmoa, you have all the tools that you need in order to serve Hashem. And if you take a look at Rashi, which you'll see after the Torah Tmim on your page, Rashi says, "Ein adam omed al sof daito shel rabo v'chachmaso v'chachmas mishnaso ad arboim shana." How long does it take for a disciple, for a student, to sit at the feet of his Rebbe in order to finally absorb all that his Rebbe has to give him, the entire Weltanschauung of his Rebbe, all his teachings, all his guidance? 40 years. I don't know if you know anybody, I don't, who sat for 40 years. I know someone who was in Rav Salavitch's Shir for 18 years. Well, I was only there for 5 years, which is a pittance. But he says 40 years. Ulefichach, therefore, says Rashi, I understand now why Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that on this day you've achieved this level of lev ladas, and now you're held responsible for all your actions. Lo hikpid alem ad hayom hazeh. Aval mikan v'yelech, now that you've been with me for 40 years, yakpid, God is now going to be demanding. And therefore, in the next pasuk it says, "Ushmartem is divrei habris hazos." You better be very careful and dedicated to the covenant, to all the obligations and commitments that you took upon yourself. And this means that although at the beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's career, Klal Yisrael were not on the level where we could be harsh with them and demanding, and we could be disappointed with them if they overstep their bounds and they violate the Shmiras HaBris. But now, after 40 years, now they've achieved that great level. They've absorbed the entire teaching of Moshe Rabbeinu. From now on, God is going to have a claim against them. In other words, what Rashi, I think, is conveying is that Moshe is saying you've transformed yourself into a higher level person. So 40 years ago, at the very beginning of the trek through the Midbar, Klal Yisrael were not on that level. If you would have asked them or demanded of them Shmiras HaBris, it would be inappropriate. But now, after 40 years, you've achieved this level. There's a whole new personality. Now, you're on a level. Go out and behave the proper way. My father, Zichron Livroch, used to always say, in the name of his father, who I didn't know, my grandfather, but his father used to claim that in the most popular yeshiva in that area, which was called Slabodka, where my father came from, in Litva, there was a mashkiach, a tremendous personality. His name is the Alta from Slabodka. His last name is Finkel. All the Finkels are related to him. So he used to give a shmooze, and in the shmooze, he used to describe the entire universe. And he used to say the universe is like a pyramid. There's at the very bottom, there's domain, which is inanimate objects, and then there's someach, which are the vegetation, and then there's chai, there's the balichai, the animal kingdom, and then on top of that, there's the medaber, man is on the top of the pyramid. As you go higher and higher in different levels of existence. Then the Alta would say that even amongst Medaber, there are different levels. There's a Ben Noach, and there's a Ger Toshav, and there's a Klal Yisrael, Levadibart Abab. They use the Koch Adiba for Torah. And they used to say, even amongst Klal Yisrael, there are different levels. There's a whole pyramid. Until finally you get to the Slabodka Yeshiva Man. You know, he is the Schmitz of the whole thing. So my grandfather used to say that the trouble with the guys in Slabodka is that many of them heard the shmooze, And they understood very well that Slabodka is all the way on top, the tippy top of the pyramid. But you know what? They forgot the next line that came out of the Alta's mouth. And now that you're on the top of the pyramid, go out and behave properly. Now you have to be mechaved others. Yeah, he says. So he says that they weren't so careful about that. They remembered the elevation and the high point of the. That was his kind of cynical comment on some of the yeshiva bachurim that he knew from Slabodka. But what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying here, says Rashi, is that now you've reached the apex, you're at the pinnacle of the entire pyramid, and now go out and behave properly. Now we have a demand, we have an expectation, anticipation of how you should live. And I think this is how we can reconcile the Ramban with Rabbi Elazar HaKapar in Masechta Nedarim. Rabbi Elazar HaKapar is talking about the individual who hasn't yet accepted the Zirus. And he comes forward, he's a self-appointed gadol, you know, he's a giant, and he says, you know what? I'm going to reach this great level of Kedusha. I'm going to prohibit myself from tiglachas, and from being metame levesim, and from drinking wine. I'm going to be this holy of holies. So Rabbi Elazar HaKapar says, who are you? Are you really ready for this? You know, maybe you should think about this twice before you appoint yourself as the Nazir. What, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give you enough Isurim prohibitions, and God now gave you wine to drink and to make Kiddush on and to enjoy, and you're going to remove yourself from all that? You're a Chotel Nefesh. Says the Ramban, that's at the beginning of his Nazirus. You're right. There's a very, we're very hesitant, and we're not comfortable in recommending a person to become a Nazir. But now that you're a Nazir, now that you've absorbed the Naziris of all these days, or months, or years, whatever it is, how long you, and now you're on a level of Kedusha, of Avodas Hashem, and now you're going to drop it all? Ah, we have a higher standard for you. You've reached a higher standard, you've achieved it, now we demand both. So there's no contradiction in between Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, who's referring to the beginning of the 40-year period, if you follow my marshal, and the Ramban at the end of the 40-year period. Now, let's raise the question as to whether Nazirus is a positive thing or a negative thing. We saw already Rabbi Elazar HaKapar seems to discourage a person from becoming a Nazir. But let's look at a few comments of the Ibn Ezra here in the Parsha of Nazirus, which fascinate me. He says the following. The Parsha of Nazirus begins with the word Yafli. Ish ki Yafli lindar neder lahazir Lashem. So what does Yafli mean? Yafrish. So the first pshat of the Ibn Ezra is that Yafli means he's porish. The second pshat is the one that really fascinates me. He says, oh, another possibility, Yafli means Yased Dover Pele. In other words, the noun Pele, which means an amazing, wondrous thing, becomes conjugated as a verb by adding the yud. So therefore, what we're saying about the Nazir is that when he accepts upon himself Nazirus, he's doing a Dover Pella, something that's amazing. Notice he's sort of setting himself up in a very unique, shall we say, one in a billion kind of situation. Ki Rov Ha'ola, and I would say the vast preponderant majority, the overwhelming majority of the people who walk this earth, Holchim Achar Tavosa, their primary goal is to enjoy life. You know, to follow that hedonistic desire in man. You know, the Greeks, the ancient Greeks used to speak a lot about the word, you know, hedonism comes from the Greek word hed, which means to desire something with a passion. And now this person does something that's a pella. It's really amazing. Instead of enjoying and getting involved in his taiva, instead of fulfilling all his desires, he decides to become a Nazir. And in doing so, he says, Nazir hu ta'ar shem. Nazir is a description of the person. And what does it mean? Vi Nazru means sheyarchik mi ta'avos. To push himself away from his physical pleasures, his biological desires and passions. Vi asazel avodas Hashem. Because he wants to dedicate himself totally, exclusively to serve Hashem. Now let's fast forward to another comment in Ibn Ezra, just a few psukim later, five psukim later. He says, Yesh omrim, ki milas nazir, mi gzeras nezer. Did you ever hear the phrase Nezer al Rosho? Nezer means a crown on the head. So again, Yafli means that he does a Dover Pella because he wants to dedicate himself exclusively to the service of Hashem, and therefore he excludes himself from the Taivas. That's a Dover Pella, Rov Olam Holchem Achar Taivas. And he's called a Nazir, which is a Shem Torah that describes his very personality. Says the Ibn Ezra, Nazir is Migzeras Nezer. Ki Nezer Olokov Al Rosha. He says the following, that the word nezer, or a crown, is usually appropriate for a melech, for a king. A king is known to wear a crown. Says the Ibn Ezra, there's a connection here between a nazir, who wears a nezer, and has transformed his entire personality, and a melech. He says, da, you should know, ki kol b'nei odom avdei tavas ha'olam, v'hamelech ha'amiti, the true king, Sheishlo Nezer Vateres Malchus Barosho is Mishu Chafshi Menatayfus. In other words, we are slaves, in effect, to our passions and desires, to our hedonistic pleasures. Those drives are so powerful that we're anything but a melech. A melech is someone who's in control, right? The absolute control is the melech, the king. And that's why he says a Nazir is like a melech, in the sense that he has absolute control over his taivas, and therefore he has Nezer al Rosh. Two beautiful Ibn Ezras that I think really integrate to form one whole. What I'd like to do is abstract from this presentation about a Nazir, and as an introduction perhaps to Chag HaShavuos, this concept of transformation of personality. If you open up the Chumash to Parshas Noso, at the end of the parsha, you remember that all the Nesiim are mentioned by name, and the Torah records in great detail how each Nasi, each prince of each Shevet, respectively brought his karbon at the time of the Chanukah Samizbeah. So this was the great celebration, the dedication of the Mizbeah, and each Nasi is mentioned by name. Now, if you skip to Pasuk Yud Ches in Perek Zion, you'll see it says there, Vayom HaShemi, Hikriv Nisanel Ben Tzuar Nisi Yisachar. In other words, when the Torah presents the name of the individual, and then in subsequent psukim, what carbon he brought as part of the Chanukah Samizbeah, the Torah not only defines his name, but tells you his title, Nasi Yisachar. And this goes on and on and on. Every 11 cases out of 12, the Torah says, Nasi of the following Shevet. The only exception is the first one, who is Nachshon ben Aminadav, Vayehi Amakriv B'yom HaRishon Es Karbano Nachshon ben Aminadav, and the next word we anticipate would be what? Nasi L'Shevet Yehuda, and it says L'mata Yehuda. It doesn't add the word Nasi. So I once heard from Rav Baruch Reichman Shlita, he was quoting a different sefer, I don't remember which, that what the Torah wants to tell us about Nachshon ben Aminadav is that he's unique. Every other individual needs a title. You know, if you strip him of his title, you wonder who he is. You know, he's just a regular guy. So the title somehow enhances the person and his status. The Torah wants to tell us that that might be true for the other Nesiim, but it's not true for Nachshon ben Aminadav. Nachshon ben Aminadav is greatness, is the personification of greatness in and of himself. Drop the word Nasi. This reminds me of Rashi at the beginning of Parshas Vayetze. You remember it says there, Vayetze Yaakov b'Be'er Sheva. When Yaakov left Be'er Sheva, Yotza, Panaziva, Panahadara, all the beauty of the city went out. In other words, Yaakov was not famous because he lived in Be'er Sheva. Tumfakir, the exact opposite. Be'er Sheva becomes kosher because Yaakov lives there. Talk about the city of Radin. Did you ever hear of Radin? What's Radin famous for?
Chofetz Chaim.
Chofetz Chaim. Well, what did Radin produce? You know, did they invent the wheel? No, Radin is famous because the Chofetz Chaim lived there. Slobodka is famous because the Alta from Slobodka. Boston is famous because my Rebbe was there for 50 years as the Rav. That's where the godless Odom is not derived neither from his title nor from the place he lives. but rather from something that's inward. And I think this is really the segue to Shavuos, because on Shavuos we spoke at great length. If you remember, Rabbi Moshe Chavroni, who says that the Kabbalah Satorah Shavuos is meant to transform the person. He's completely, if he achieves the proper Kabbalah, then he's completely clean slate. You know, it's as if he went through Yom Kippur, but even more than Yom Kippur. Moshe Chavroni says he's not even in need of any other kapara. You know, Yom Kippur sometimes doesn't work in and of itself alone. It needs Yisurin, it needs Misa, different levels of kapara, different levels of sin. But on Rosh Hashanah, and so far as Rosh Hashanah is also a day of judgment, there's a total transformation of the personality. He's like a katan shenola, Tommy, and none of his sins relate to him. That new personality is something that we have to develop, that we have to all strive for. That great, as we saw before in the Ibn Ezra, when a person is different than the Rov Ha'olam, and he decides to set himself up in a unique way as a Nazir, and he's Molech HaLatzo, he's the Melech HaMiti, he wears the Nazir Al Rosho. And so too, we said about Nashim Ben Amidadov, that he doesn't need the title to make him Choshev. His status is not because he's Nasi L'Shevet Yehuda, but rather because he's Nashim Ben Amidadov. He is who he is. And that's what we have to strive for, to become greater people. And now what I'd like to do is, as a sort of introduction to Parshas Bahaloscha, which is, again, fast and approaching, to see if we can make some connection between the end of Parshas Naso, in which we saw the Nesiim, each Nasi respectively brought his carbon at the Chanukah and his Mizbeach, and the beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha. What's the first mitzvah of Parshas Bahaloscha? Who remembers? The Ner Hashem B'Migdosh. And Rashi says, Loma Nisbucha Parshas HaMenorah LaParshas HaNesiim. What was the connection between the Nesiim that we just read at the end of Parshas Naso and the beginning of Bahaloscha, which is dedicated to the mitzvah of the menorah? And Rashi goes on in his famous permutation that Aaron and his shevet, meaning the Kohanim, did not participate in the Chanukas Hanasiim, the Chanukas Hamizbeach. Chol Shadaito, he became despondent. Shalohayimah b'Chanukah huvelo shivto. Amalak Kodesh Baruch Hu. God comes to console Aaron, and he says, Shalcha chayecha. I swear, so to speak, it's a very dramatic language. Shalcha gedola mishalem. You have a greater mitzvah than this. Sha'ata madlik umetiv es hanirus. Because you're going to get the mitzvah of hadlokas hanirus. And the Ramban, famous first Ramban in Parshas Bahaloscha, raises the confusion, the question, what I don't understand. Why, of all things, did God come to console Aaron with hadlokas hanirus? What about the ketores that has to be brought by the Kohanim? Daily, twice daily, Yasimu Ketorah Bapech. Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of the Torah in Mitzvos HaBracha, he lauds the Shevet Kehuna because of the Ketores. And what about other Karbonos and the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, which only Aaron could achieve? Minchas Chavitim, which is the mincha that's brought daily for the Kohen Gadol. V'nichnas l'fnai v'lifnim. On Yom Kippur, only the Kohen Gadol goes l'fnai v'lifnim. V'hu kadosh Hashem omei v'echol l'shar selvark b'shmo. He also bestows the bracha on Klal Yisrael. And his entire shevet on Meshar Se'elikim. So of all the different things, he had to pinpoint the menorah. So what I'd like to study with you is the answer of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Rosh Yeshiva of Mir. He builds himself on a presentation of the Bamidbar Rabbah, of the Medrash Rabbah, at the very beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha. The Medrash quotes a pasuk in Tehillim: Ki ata ta'ir neiri. That David HaMelech says in Tehillim that you, meaning the Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash, will light my candle. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Klal Yisrael, you're lighting up my Beis HaMikdash. Amar Li Yisrael Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Pella, the amazing thing about the Hadlokas HaNer Shev HaMikdash. The people of Israel come in front of the Ribbono Shelam and they say, Lano Ata Omer Shenoyer Panecha. We're going to light and illuminate your home. Atahu Oro Shel Olam. You are the essence of light, of illumination. The entire universe you illuminate. Ha'ora Dara Etzlecha. Any light is coming from you. You're the source of all light. He quotes a pasuk in Tanakh. And you're telling Kiata Toyer Neri that you're going to light my candle? It's not true that I need you. I mean, God is perfect. He's omnipotent. He can do anything. He doesn't need us. And you'll see that Reb Chaim Shulevitz is going to build a lot on that phrase, which literally translates as, I want you to light my road, my pathway, just like I lit up your pathway. And the pathway that God lit up for us is for 40 years in the desert. God lit us up with the Amud HaEsh, the Amud HaAnan. He guided us. He illuminated us through the wilderness, the darkness. And the reason why I want you to light my menorah in my Mishkan is in order to elevate you from all the other nations. In other words, there's something here, says the Medrash, in this mitzvah of Hadlakas HaMenorah, in which God, Kaviyachal, is requesting of Klal Yisrael to light up the path for him, which sets us up, the Jewish nation, as unique amongst all the nations. And the peoples of the world could say, Re'u, observe, Heich Yisrael Me'irim, that we, the people of Israel, this nation has the unique ability to light up Lemishu Meir Kalal, to He, with a capital H, who lights the entire universe. And here, we continue with this Medrash, because the Medrash offers a metaphor of Mashal. Mashal Ma Dover Dom. So watch what happens here. Lepikech V'suma. So we have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven can see, and Shimon is blind. But Shimon will see, even though he's blind, he's very strong, he's physically strong. They're both on the same, they're trudging through the same road. So he who has sight, we'll call him Reuven, says to Shimon, when we finally arrive at our destination and we enter into the home, please, I want you to light, you know, turn on the electricity, right? Turn on the lights, light the candles. Veheirli, and give me light in my home. Amalo asuma. The suma responds, b'tovascha, meaning, please be good enough to explain what you mean here. Kishayisi baderech, when we were on the road, I couldn't see anything. So you, because you have sight, Reuven, you guided me. You would escort me because the derech was very treacherous, it was very dangerous.
It's
a little bit paradoxical that now we come into the house and I should be the one to light the candles for you. I mean, why can't you light them yourselves? You know what? I have a cheshbon here. There is logic, there's rhyme and reason to my approach here. My request is shalote machzik litova. You might feel embarrassed because you owe me one. Shayisi melavcha baderech. If not for me, since you're blind, you couldn't have made it. Well, kacha marti lecha. If I'm giving you a job to do, hey, early, do me a favor. Meaning, I want you to be able to feel comfortable that you did something on my behalf. Again, you could always be cynical and ask, but once he explains it, you know, why is he going to feel so comfortable? But anyway, what's the nimshal? What is the major try to convey? Kach ha-bikech ha-zeh ha-kodesh baruch hu. The bikech in the mashal is representative of God in heaven. And God is He who guides us, and He guided the people of Israel for 40 years through the desert. Hasuma elu Yisrael. And the blind person is representative of Klal Yisrael because they don't know where they're going. Ke'ivrim, they're like blind people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu manhigam u'mer lahem. God is the one who guides them and lights up, illuminates the road, the path for them. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vashem holich lifneim yoma. And God went in front of them during the day, during the night. He lit up the path for them, He guided them, He destroyed all those treacherous animals, the Nechashim, and then He defended them against all their enemies, and so forth and so on. Kevan Sha'amad HaMishkan, now at the end of this period of time, we finally arrived at establishing the Mishkan, which is the abode of Hashem. Kara Kodesh Baruch LeMoshe V'Yomlo Ta'iruli. It's like as if Hashem says to them, you know, I need you to light up my home. It's not really true that God needs them, but you, Klal Yisrael, need to light up my home. Why? Because otherwise, look what you owe me. You know, you're machzik mitova. You owe me such an incredible debt because I lit the way for you for 40 years. Now I want you to light it for me. Shenema ba'aloscha saneros b'shpil la'alos lachem. What does ba'aloscha mean? It doesn't mean to raise the light, you know, so the flame should go up, shoot up, but it means ba'aloscha, that you should go up. I want to elevate you. And this is the unique mitzvah of Adlakas Aneris. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz starts by quoting Rashi at the beginning of Baloscha, that there's some very special, unique aspect to Baloscha Aneris, the mitzvah of the menorah, above and beyond all the other dimensions of avoda of the Kohen. And what does it mean? What's unique about Adlakas Aneris? And he goes ahead and he quotes this Medrash. What is so great about lighting the menorah? And now Chazal in this mashal, in this medrash, revealed to us the secret of the menorah. Why? It's so great that Yisroel misalim al yoda. It's bahaloscha. It elevates you. How so? Ki ilu mishalmin bekach eschiyuvam. It's if they pay back their debt. Avur Mashahir Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Darkam V'Midbar. They owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu big time, because in the Midbar at night, especially even during the day, there was no way, naturally, according to the laws, that they could possibly survive. God saved them by giving them illumination for 40 years. V'zeu Shomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Li'aron Chayecha Shalcha G'dola Mishalahem. You have the greatest of all mitzvahs. What is so great about this avoda? And here says Reb Chaim Shlevitz, it's not just limited to Aaron, although he will light the menorah, he and his shevet, but it goes beyond that. It's a message for all of Klal Yisrael. So this is the great avoda that makes us, the people of Israel, unique amongst the nations. He hakaras hatov. We acknowledge and we recognize all the goodness that Hashem has bestowed upon. God says, you know what? Pay me back. Do me a favor. Light up my abode. In a similar way to the tova that God gave to the Jewish people. There's no other avod in the Beis HaMikdash, with the exception of Hadlokas HaNeros, that reflects and represents this concept of payback, of Hakaras HaTov, of recognizing how much we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu and how much we crave to replay, to pay back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, says Rabbeinu Bechai, this Hakaras HaTov is the Yesod HaYesod, is the foundation of all our avodah. All our avodah is to say to Hashem, you know what, we recognize, we acknowledge how much we owe you. Everything we have is yours. And therefore, what can we do in return? There's a beautiful clay yokar here on the parash of Nazir. But I'll come back to it in just a few minutes because I want to finish this idea that we started with. If you take a look on page 4 of Yemar Makomos, you will see, I think, I hope, a connection between Parshas Noso and Parshas Baloscha. The Torah says at the end of Parshas Baloscha that we have a mitzvah to bring what's called Nischei Hayayin. Nisachim were the libations over the korbanos that were made of wine, that comprised wine. And the Torah introduces this mitzvah by saying, Ki savo el eretz moshvosecha, as you enter into Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban says that this mitzvah of Nischei Yayin is a great consolation to the people of Israel, to calm them down. They were really, really getting nervous and upset. Why? He says the following. Ki hayu no ashin, on the third line. They were at the brink of despair. Lema, as if to say, Mi odea mayye la'orech yomim l'sofar boim shana. Here they were trudging through the midbar. They had already violated the Isur, the terrible Isur of Avodah Zarah at the time of the Egel. And who knows if they'll ever make it through this entire long period of the Midbar of 40 years. And v'yim yachtu gam habanim, maybe our children will also sin just as we sin. And maybe all the promises that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, the divine promises of entering into Eretz Yisrael and inheriting them, maybe they'll all go down the tubes. They're all conditional on the fact that we will live up to our responsibility. And if we don't do so, if we fail short, then all the promises go down the tubes. Lachain ro HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'nachama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes here in Parshas Baal Loscha to console the Jewish people, to give them faith and hope in the future. Because he says, Ki savo el eretz moshoseichem, this mitzvah that I'm about to give you, the mitzvah of nischei hayayin, is conditional upon the fact that you will enter into Eretz Yisrael. And this mitzvah is one of the tayag mitzvahs. It's not a mitzvah that could either come or go. Ki mitzavaso oso b'mitzvah sa'aretz, by commanding them in this mitzvah, which can only be fulfilled in the land of Israel, Memeli says, implicit is Hivticham, he's promised them, Shegoli lefanav sheyavo v'yirshu osa, that they will in fact inherit the land. That promise will be fulfilled. There's no need to worry and to be upset and despair. So we see here from this Rabban that Nischei Hayayin in Parshas Baal Loscha is a Nechama. We have now a double-fold Nechama in the Rabban. The Rabban says, based on Rashi, the beginning of the Parsha, that the menorah is the Nechama to Klal Yisrael, excuse me, to the Kohanim specifically, for their omission. You know, they were deleted, they were left out in the Parsha of Chanukas HaMizbeach. And now Nischei Hayayin at the end of Parshas Baal Loscha is an achamah to Klal Yisrael that despite their sins and all the fears that they have, they will in fact inherit the land. That's inherent in Nischei Hayayin. So it's very interesting because Parshas Naso ends with the Karbonos of the Nesiim. Parshas Naso begins with the Karbonos of the Nazir. We spoke about those Karbonos, so we'll come back and speak about them again in Mirtz Hashem. And then we have the Karbonos, in this case the Nischei Hayayin, which can only be fulfilled when they enter into Eretz Yisrael. For 40 years in the desert, they brought Karbonos in the Mishkan, but they didn't bring Nischei Hayayin. Nischei Hayayin somehow is connected to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael always represents the faith and the hope for a bright, glorious future. Eretz Yisrael is the representation of our destination, our ultimate achievement of redemption. And therefore the Nischei Hayayin, Yayin is always Mesameach Levav Enos. The purpose of wine is to give us hope and joy. That has to be connected to Eretz Yisrael. And I want to study with you the Sfarno. The Sfarno here on the parish of Nischei Hayayin says the following. It's the last source on your page 4. He says, Hine ad ha'egel, up until the sin of the egel haya karbon reach nichoach bizulas mincha unisach. He says that there were two dimensions of hakrovas hakarbon that only came into existence in the post cheta egel period, meaning the karbonis that were brought before the egel was worshipped. Reach nichoach, they achieved their goal of ritzu in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu without mincha and without Nesachim. The mitzvah of Mincha and the mitzvah of Nesachim, Menachos and Nesachim, were given here in Parshas Baal Loscha and historically in the period after the Chet HaEgel. Ke'inyon behevel ubenoach ubavram. We find, for example, that Hevel brought Karbonos. Of course, Cain was a little jealous. Noach brought Karbonos after he came out of the Teva. Avram brought Karbonos on the Mizbeach. And not only that, Vayishlach es Nari b'nei Yisrael at the end of Parashas Mishpatim, when Klal Yisrael entered the covenant, they brought Karbonos. And so there were many, many Karbonos that were brought, but they never had an accompaniment neither of a Karba Mincha nor of Nischei Hayayin. Ubecheto be'egel, says the Sfarno, but after they sinned at the Egel, Hitzrich, there was a need for Mincha unesachim li'olas hatomit. Right? Every day in the Beis HaMikdash there was a Korban Tamei that was brought, and that was a Korban Tzibur on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and they had, that Korban had to be accompanied by Menachos and Nesachim. Umeaz Shechatu Bimaraglim Hitzrich Mincho Nesachim Lahachshir Gar Korban Yoch. So the Korban Tzibur, in other words, the Chet HaEgel had an impact on the Tzibur. It made their Korbanos incomplete. They no longer could bring a Korban Tzibur and die, and that would be sufficient. They would only achieve Reach Nichoch if the Korban Tzibur was accompanied by a Mincha and a Sochet. And then they sinned the second time. That was the Chet of the Meraglim. The Chet of the Meraglim had an even more devastating impact on Klal Yisrael. Not just on their status as a community, but on the status of every individual. You remember the severe punishment for every individual of Klal Yisrael at the time of the Chet of the Meraglim. And then, from then, that point, then henceforth, even a Yachid couldn't bring a Karban and make it into a Reach Nichoach unless it was accompanied by Mincha Unesachim, which would be a precondition in the Hechsher, in the validity or the qualification of a Karban Yachid. So we have here two major Chatoim in Jewish history, and they both need, in the aftermath of these two sins, they need Chizuk. They need some sort of extra Nechama, extra power, extra strength. And now, in order to bring a Karban of a Krova coming close to Hashem, they would need Menachos and Nesachim. So we see very clearly that this whole process of Karbanos, which begins, as we saw at the beginning of Parshas Noso, with the Chet Al Nafsho of the Nazir, and then at the end of the Parsha, we see that the Shevet Kohanim were left out of the Karbanos of the Nesiim, and then we see that the Karbanos of the Nesiim, according to the Sfarno, were the Karbanos after the first Chet of the Chet of the Chet HaEgel, and then the second Chet of the Chet HaMeraglim were deficient. Karbanos need Chizuk, as the Ramban says. God gives the Nesachim as an extra addendum to the Karbanos and a Chizuk to Klal Yisrael, l'havtochel, l'nachamam, u'l'havtichel. So on the one hand, a Karban really represents the fact that I feel inadequate. I want to get closer to Hashem, and I'm not capable of doing so. But yet on the other hand, the Karbanos are a great nechama and avtocha to Klal Yisrael. They uplift and they represent the joy of Klal Yisrael. We'll see this over and over again throughout Chazal. I just have a few quick quotes that I wanted to add here. Rabbeinu Bechai in Parshas Noso, when he speaks about the carbon of a Nazir, he says in Malderach Kabbalah, you can only understand it based on Kabbalah, so we don't have the tools to really understand Kabbalah. But just to get a flavor, he certainly says, like the Ramban, that the Nazir has reached an unbelievable level. He calls him who kvar lemala me'amidos. He's above the normal midos, the attributes that a person achieves. V'davek be'etzem rachmim elyonim. He somehow clings to a new level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of divinity, of rachmim elyonim, a high level of love and compassion from Hashem. And now he wants to leave that kedusha. He wants to exit and leave it behind. Nira, it appears, kemisrachik, as if he's running away from this high level that he's achieved. Is it possible that that's what he wants to do? In other words, this karban, its kavana is lekariv kochos uliyached lahamshich lem shefa min amokar. Somehow, whatever shefa, whatever divine benevolence came down from the heavens and was bestowed upon the Nazir as a result of his connection, his dveikus, to the etzem rachamim elyonim, he needs the karba now to fortify him with a continuation of Nazirus. The Nazirus will continue. And therefore, even though he's going back to his state of Yishted Nazir Yayin, he's going back to his Hana Osav Kemidik Bnei Adam, he's going back to the biological world. Nevertheless, he still takes something with him from the higher worlds of Nazirus, in which that experience of Nazirus somehow facilitated his Dveikus B'etzem Rachman Melion. And what is the catalyst, what is the agent that's going to allow him to continue that Rachman Melion and those lights from the higher world and take it down to the lower world of Olam HaGufos? It's going to be the carbon of a Nazir. That's the power. And the Shem Yishmuel says in the name of his father, the Sagachov, on the Pasuk, Achar Yishteh HaNazir Yayin. Torah says that after he brings that carbon, he drinks Yayin, which seems at the surface of it to mean that he's allowed to drink wine. But why does it say Nazir? After all, he's terminated his Nazirs. And he says, Af Kishe Yishteh Achar Yayin, even though he's drinking wine, Yishoyer Shem Nazir Olam. Somehow the carbon of a Nazir that we saw in Rabbi Bechai that impacts upon him and projects him further after the termination of the Nazirs as being connected to the Etzem Rachmim Elyonim, that status of a Nazir is not paka, it's not removed. When he drinks wine, it's a different kind of Shtiyas Yayin. And we see now that the Nechama to a Nazir when he terminates his Nazirus is that, you know what? You're not really terminating the Nazirus. Something is taking you to higher worlds, connecting you to the higher worlds. The Chatos is going to allow, is going to facilitate that even after this Karbon, you still remain a Nazir. And therefore the Yayin of Nesachin, which we saw in the Ramban, is a Nechama and Avtoch to Klal Yisrael. Well, the way the Sfarno said it, that this Yayin now gives the power to the Karbon despite the sins and the failings of man. Yayin itself now, both for a Nazir, becomes an important message, and for all of Klal Yisrael. The Meshech Chochma goes very far, and he says that the Karbonos that a Nazir brings are like the Karbonos of the Nasir at the end of the Parsha, which are brought at the moment of Chanukah Samizbeach, which means that just like the Nesim connect themselves, each Nasi respectively, to the highest and central most, in this world at least, most holy place, the Mizbeach of Hashem, so too the Karbonos of a Nazir connect him to the highest place when he exits, when he completes and terminates his Nazirus. We Rabosai need Karbonos. In fact, in Chag HaShavuos, all that you have, there's no special bits in the Torah except in the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's the Kibbutz Atzeres, whether it's the Shtel Lechem, we desperately need those Karbonos. The central motif of Chag HaShavuos is Gerus, and when a person comes from any nation and wants a Mizgar, they have to bring he or she the Karbon of a Ger. We are all Gerim on the day of Matan Torah. We as a nation collectively enter into a new covenant with Hashem. We could cut the shenol adam, each and every one of us. And all the laws of Gerus are derived from Matan Torah. We need the carbon of a Ger. We don't have that carbon. The carbon is meant to connect us with the higher worlds. The carbon has such power inherent in the carbon. It's an achama and avtocha for us. It connects us to Eretz Yisrael, connects us to Beis HaMikdash, to the holiest places, the Mizbeach, to the Etzem HaRachmim Elyonim. The Nesiim used the carbon as a means to connect to the Mizbeach. The Nazir, even though he left his Nazirus, its high state of the Elyonim, continues in the Olam HaGufos to be connected to the Olam HaElyon through the power of a carbon. And what the Torah adds through this level of Nechama is the Niske Ayayin of Parshas Baloscha. The Niske Ayayin connect us to those higher worlds. They give us joy because we can take this wine and pour it on the Mizbeach and so connect ourselves to the higher worlds. Yiratzon may be as well that as we enter the Chag HaShavuos, and more important, as we leave Chag HaShavuos, we take with us the message of these parashas, of the parasha of the Nazir, of the Nesiim, of the Chanukah Samizbeach, the parasha of Miske HaYayin, that we can enter into this world, the Olam HaGufos, but always remain connected to the higher world. We can wear the crown, not maybe the crown of a Nazir, I'm not recommending that crown that the Ibn Ezra spoke, but at least the crown of Torah. Because Shloshik Sarav Nithibayim Yisrael, the crown of Torah is the greatest of all crowns. And that crown indicates our highest status, it indicates the Ashpa, the impact it's going to have on us as individuals, and we should take that influence in that Kedusha for the rest of the year as Shavuos impacts on us. Kei Yiratzon.
Amen. You had one source you didn't discuss.
Which one?
The car.
oh yeah, the Kli Yakar speaks about an unbelievable concept here. He's going according to the approach of those who say that the carbon of a Nazir is because he fell, he was metami himself, and he wasn't careful about his Nazirus. So at the very beginning of his presentation, he quotes Rabbi Lazar Akapor, Shetzir Atzim Ben Amyayim, Ruh Peli, and he says, I don't understand. Yeshli Hafli Al Dvara. He says, it doesn't make any sense, because this carbon is not being brought because he was Mitzayar himself from the Yayim. This carbon is being brought because he was Nitba B'meis. He needs a Kapora for being Mitami himself to a maze. And he says, "Shagam Rabbi Lezer Moshe Shakol Yimei Hemshech Nizirusu Nikra Kadosh V'Lo Chote Ki Nizir Al Kimhu Omnam." He says, "What's the problem with Nazir? Why was he Chotal Nafsha? Why does he need a carbon?" He says, "Ki Im Nitma B'Meis If He Became Tomei." That's going to that opinion, that approach. Is Dino Shamayim Arishonim Yiplu? All that he did until that point in his observances and his ears is completely gone, and now basically Igloi Milsa Mafreya, that those original days in which he observed his ears, Lohoi B'chala Nizirus. And therefore, says Rav Elazar Kapor, Tzir Atzvim and Ayari, there was no justification, there was no validity to all those days in which he abstained from Yayin, below Tavu, below Eis Nizirus, because the Mafreya, once he's Midami himself, he loses all those days. The Zepirish Yakar, like the word Yakar is important. But in the next paragraph, he says that I have a whole different shot. And this is an unbelievable presentation. I don't know if we have time to go through the whole thing. I'll show you the punchline. You know, the punchline is it. Why was it that this Nazir, how did it come about that he became Tomei? I mean, after all, he's a Nazir, he's a holy person. And shouldn't he have been more careful and more meticulous not to go to a place where he might become Tomei? Says there's a deep psychological chiddush here in the Kli Yakar. He says, Hutzrach lekapara, it's about six lines up from the bottom of your page, al shetzir atzmo, that his experience of Nazirus was one of tzar. In other words, when he existed all these days and weeks and months as a Nazir, he wasn't in a state of shlemus hanefesh, meaning of being one with himself, of being happy with himself, but rather his experience was one of tzir atzmo. That's what Rabbi Elazar HaKapor is saying. In other words, not that we're blaming him for the fact that he abstained from wine, he's on a holy level, but we're blaming him because he was metami himself, and this fact that he was metami himself is going to reveal to us, we'll see how in just a minute, that all his days of abstention from wine, he was bitzar. He wasn't really a genuine nazir, duch and duch, through and through. Zegara, as a result of the fact that he was bitzar in his experience of nazirus, he engendered a very powerful yetzahara, shenizgarabo. That is, when a person feels bitzar, be careful, says the Kli Yakar, that Yetzirah is surrounding him, is lingering in the shadows. V'sivev sivos, and this Yetzirah, which is a result of Yetzar, and in the case of a Nazir specifically, is going to cause a person, L'tame Nizra, to be Mekutam. And he says, why? Asher, on the next line, Lo Avad Es Hashem B'Simcha. The Nazir had the opportunity of not only being Ovid Hashem in a very unique way on a very high level, but also converting, transforming that Avodas Hashem to Simcha. And instead, Tachas Hashalom Ovid Hashem Simcha, in place, he was Ovid Hashem B'tzar. Simcha is something that reflects Shleimus. When a person is one, he's perfect, he feels at home with what he's doing. He knows and he appreciates its greatness and its glory. Ilu, this is what I want you to underline here. This is the punchline. Unbelievably so. Ilu ayasameach bin Ziruso, had this Nazir been truly at one, shalom and joy in his experience of Nazirus, Hayanizar Bashmir Yaseir Vinatur. He naturally, through this simcha, would have been more careful about being in order not to be metamus. How do we know that he wasn't existing and experiencing shmira, excuse me, a simcha in his nazirus? What's the proof positive? How do I know that this nazir, the fact that he was metame himself, may achashlo nizra baha, the fact that he wasn't careful enough in his nazirus, he was careless, that itself is a horah. Horah means it's a proof. Shalo hayasameh b'nazirusa. He wasn't really in joy with his nazirus. He was mitzayer atzmo. Instead of being sameach, he was mitzayer himself. Tzaddikim, he says, those who dedicate themselves to the service of Hashem, yismichu v'yalozu lifnei Hashem, they are always in great joy in front of God, and therefore they're very, very careful. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. The real source of sin here, and the real chote al nafsho, even though you think it's because he was mitami himself, no. That's only a gili milsa. That's only a proof positive that he was mitzayer himself. That's why if you go back to Rav Elazar HaKapar, he says, why does he have to bring a korban? Why was he chotei on which nefesh? Al shetzir atzmo min hayayin. He was mitzayer atzmo min hayayin. And that tzar min hayayin caused a whole ripple effect. Since he wasn't besimcha in his abstention from wine, he was mitzayer, the Yetzirah got the best of him. He was lacking simcha, and that's when the Yetzirah is most powerful. And it caused him to be careless in Tumah. And now as a result, he was mitami himself inadvertently. And all the days of his Naziris are null and void, l'mafreya. And therefore, what good is it? What meaning does it have that he abstained from yayin? It's all just pure tzar.
Tumah is just a symptom of the fact that it wasn't...
Correct. It's a symptom, it's a gili milsa, it's indicative of the fact that he was bitzar. And now, so there's a whole chain reaction. He starts with tzar in his nazirus. As a result, the Yetzirah gets the best of him. As a result, he's not careful about his tumah. As a result, yomim harishonim yiflu. As a result, all the abstinence that he experienced, that he implemented for the first, who knows how many days of his nazirus, it's all meaningless. It's devoid of any kiyum, of any halachic status, and therefore it's nothing more than tzar. So he starts with tzar. And he ends with tzar. And this, I think, is a whole other dimension to the parasha of nazirus. That nazirus has to be a reflection or an expression of ivdu es Hashem besimcha, of tzadikim yismichu v'yalozu lifnei Hashem v'yosisu. And that's the message of the Korban of a Nazir. So we just to summarize, we saw a number of messages that are inherent in the parasha of the Korban Nazir. One is the fact that he abstains, he cuts himself off from the color of this world, instead he lives in a black and white world. Number two is the fact that he terminates his Nazirus, he's transformed his personality, and now he goes back to his old world of Taivas Olam, to the Olam HaGufos. Number three, we saw that his Korban links him to the Mizbeah, and it doesn't fall short, says the Meshech Chochma, of the Korbanos of the Nisim at the time of Chanukah, of Mizbeach, and that reflects back on Rabbi Mechai's Yisod, that the Korban of a Nazir allows him to continue his state of Nazirus, even after technically he's terminated his Nazirus. He's still connected to the Etzem Rachman El Yonim, and what achieves that goal? The Korban, and that gives a great Nechama. We should all be Zocha to transform our personalities, and even if we fail short, we should still have a sense of Nechama and Bitachon, and we'll be Zocha to bring those Korbanos that reconnect us to the Mizbeach, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. B'mehirav Yameinu. Amen.